these December messages, if you're tired, just bear with the preacher. That's all I can tell you. There's something in these things that God's wanting to tell us. To me, it's telling us about revival. And I said Wednesday night, it tickles me to death when I found out that God's trying to light a flame in a wind and rainstorm. Amen. I'm glad that God can take our last season and do something with it. The latter month of our year, and God can still start something up. I like when God starts something. Amen. Sometimes God gets in our business. Amen. I like when God gets in our business and begins to start something, spark something, get something moving. And by the way, revival is always, write this down. You need to put this down somewhere. I learned this a long time. Revival is not started when God's people begin to seek Him. Revival is started when God begins to move on His people to seek Him. He is the originator of revival.
Amen.
You would never look for Him if you had not tasted Him. If you hadn't never known what it was like to be without Him, and now you know you're without Him, and you've been with Him, you would never know to start praying. God always starts everything that's worth starting.
Amen.
Amen. You write it down somewhere. You never get stirred. Peter said, I think it means as long as I'm with you to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. What you're remembering? You're remembering what God already did.
That's right. Amen.
Everything we have is because of what God does. Amen.
Amen.
Without Him, you can do nothing. Isn't that what the Scripture says? Without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
We've been studying here. I'll give you the message. Let's all stand today. Ezra chapter 10. And I want to read one verse in this chapter today. We're not leaving, Lord willing, out of this chapter. So you can just keep your Bibles open. Ezra chapter number 10, verse number 9. This one, of all of them, has caused me more time to look ahead and try to figure out what was going on than any of them, to be honest with you, of the message. This is one of the ones that I kept kind of pushing back till the Lord told me when. Amen. I looked at it and I was like, I don't have a clue. I know there's something there, but why is it there? And the one I'm going to preach tonight, the same way, these two. And so I'll tell you, all right, already we're going to be right back in December tonight. We'll probably close out tonight, as far as I know. But I hope they'll help you. Anyway, look at verse number 9. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month, on the 20th day of the month. And all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of this matter, and for the great rain. Because of this matter, they're trembling because of this matter and the great rain. We begin to preach on telling you about this month, Chislew, about the 9th month, Kislev in the Hebrew. And we told you that the time of season was the coldest, rainiest season, just like it is for us. I thought this morning when I woke up this morning and it was raining against the wind, I said, Lord, you sure got the right weather for the right message. And it's been like that every time. It seemed like seemed like God sent us some colder weather so we might more understand. You say, oh, preacher, He wouldn't change the whole United States just so you could stand and preach about it. Well, you think whatever you want to think. I have a tendency to believe God to do some things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I believe sometimes God just changed things in order we might grasp it better. I'm glad God is willing to let us grasp some things.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The Bible says they stood in this weather, in this rainy weather, and they trembled. They didn't tremble just because of the rain. They trembled because of the matter. I want to preach on this thought today out of this passage on the cold, hard truth about repentance. Cold, hard truth about repentance. I'm not sure sometimes we grasp what repentance is really about. But in this passage, there is laid out as true a teaching on repentance as we will ever read. And I hope you can grasp it this morning. If I can grasp it, I know you can. And I just want to get a hold of it this morning. Get that. These people trembled as they stood in the rain for 3 days. 3 days waiting. But they said, because of the matter and the rain. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Brother John, if you'll lead us in prayer, please pray for me this morning.
bless each and every one that's come out this way, Lord. Lord, we pray for the pastor today as he brings the message. Father, you have laid on his heart. We pray that you'll hide him behind the cross, Lord, and let your glory shine through him. Thank you for our church and our members. Thank you for all you've done for us. First and most of all, thank you for Jesus who died on that cross for us, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you for all you've done in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. You be seated this morning. Preached out of Nehemiah last Wednesday night on doing something in December that will make a difference next year. Amen. Boy, we need to do that, don't we? And then the reason for the season out of Zechariah, the keeping of watching the winter out of 1 Chronicles 27, and beginning it, and it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas there in Jeremiah 36. It's amazing what's in the Bible, isn't it? I wanted to preach on this because it is the ninth month. We are in the month of December, and I believe we can relate to this. And I believe God has timely messages that you need to preach at a time. If I preached this in July, we'd all kind of like, well, you know, walk outside and it feel like it's, you know, it's 80-something degrees, 90-something degrees outside. We couldn't relate to it. But a lot of time God gives us something right exactly when we can relate to it, right when we need it the most. Amen. And we might grasp a hold of what's going on here this morning. Now, what happened was this. They built the temple back, and Ezra has come back in order to put the order to the temple to organize the priests, the people, all the things that should be the way they should be. And it took them a long time to build the temple. The wall was put up in 50-some-odd days, but the temple took years to build. Not just because it's a big project, because they put it off and didn't finish it like they should have done. In fact, you'll find a lot of things in the Bible, the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, and Habakkuk are all written around those same times and things that were going. And I tell you, the people come home and they had to be corrected. And they finally got a will to finish the temple and they got their worship right. And, you know, that's one thing about it. People are quick to get separated but slow to worship. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people will do some work, but they don't want to worship. And we can stay busy because working is one thing, but worshiping is a whole different ballgame. Amen. Amen. In order to worship, you're going to have to give your heart to God. Amen. And your thoughts have got to be on Him. And so worship, just like it took them a while to get it, a lot of times it takes us a while to get it because we can do work, but worship's a different ballgame. Amen. Amen. And so it's taking them time. They have finally finished the work there. And, you know, Ezra's that back now. He's come back to set the things in order and get everything ready for worship. And when he goes to do it, he finds out it's brought to his attention in the previous chapter here that what has happened is the people have intermarried with those around them while they were in captivity. Both the priest and the Levites and the workers and the people themselves are all mixed in this thing. And God had specifically commanded them to stay separated from it. Don't mingle with them. Don't marry them. Don't be part of the people. But they spent all this time getting the worship ready to go. And then he finds out, sure enough, they're married with those ones of the other land. I'm going to preach this morning on the cold, hard truth about repentance. Look at verse number 1 of this chapter with me. Chapter number 10. The Bible says, "And now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping, and cast himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore." Number one, I believe the day that hearts are broken by sin. One of the cold hard truths about repentance is it's just not just something bad happened. It's just not a thing that we slipped up on. It's just not the fact that that's the way we are. Sin is not that way at all. The truth of the matter is sin breaks hearts. Amen. Hearts are broken by sin. It affects people. It affects my life. It affects your life. It affects everybody around us.
Amen.
The Bible said it affects the minister there. We see him, the minister's failure. He feels as though he's failed. He just got home to set things in order, but notice what he said. Now when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God. The Bible says that Ezra feels that he's failed the people. Well, I can relate to that in the ministry. I've seen people go off and do things and sin, and I'll be honest with you, you go home and you might not tell everybody at church, but you go home in your bedroom and you think, God, where did I fail? Did I not preach what I was supposed to preach? Did I not stand it? Was it not seriously about there? Did people not believe that what I said was true and that sin will ruin your lives and make a shipwreck of it? I mean, boy, it bothers you, Brother Tony. It wears on you and you begin to confess to God. And let's be honest with you, there's sometimes we need to take a harder stand. And there's such a temptation today because you love people and you care for people. And there's a temptation to kind of want to soften up a little bit and you know, love on people more and show a love a different way. And boy, when you do that, it just causes heartache.
Amen.
It's awful tempting though, but there needs to be a harder stand. I'll be the first to admit today, I think I could preach harder.
Bless
you,
Lord.
We all hate sin more than we've ever hated sin.
Amen.
It's an awful thing. It breaks people's hearts.
Yes. Yes.
Ministries, ministers feel, though they failed in the ministry, cast himself down before the house of God. Verse 1 says, they're assembled in him out of Israel. Very great congregation of men and women and children. For the people wept very sore. I want to say this. Not only did it break the hearts of the minister, not only does it make them feel like they have failed, but just to be honest with you, it brings misery to families.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Sin makes families miserable. I've seen parents come in broken hearted. You couldn't cheerlead them up. You couldn't shout them up. You couldn't read them up. They're so far down. They couldn't get their minds focused on it. It breaks families' hearts. And
yes, sir.
I've seen that before.
Yes, sir.
I've seen husbands come in after wives have run off and can't focus on nothing and can't do anything in the ministry. I've seen wives, because husbands are cold, and come in the house of God and just kind of smile through the service, but truth of the matter, feel miserable. Cold hard truth about sin and repentance is it makes people miserable. It affects the ministry. It affects families because hearts are broken. You hear what I'm saying? They are broken over sin. There's no way to dance around that. There's no way to say it doesn't happen. Every sin we commit affects somebody around us. Amen.
Amen.
So we see that truth here mentioned in this scripture. Now stay with me here this morning. Don't turn this off. Look at verse 2. Shechaniah, the son of Jael, one of the sons of Elam. He's going to get ready to say something. Don't read too far ahead, but I want to give you. Well, let me go ahead and read verse 2 to you. The Bible says, Shechaniah, the son of Jael, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against our God and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now don't read on. This verse is almost an overwhelming verse. I mean, here's the man of God. He's down on his knees. He's broken, fell on his face before the house of God. The men and women and children are there weeping and crying over the thing and sorrowful over this thing. And in the midst of that, you got a man stand up and say, hey, we've done terrible things, but there's hope.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Boy, I have a tendency to believe today that we punctuate the misery. We don't punctuate what God can still do.
That's right. Amen.
I don't know everything about this man, but I did find out some things about him. I looked up his name and his family, and the name Elam means hidden things. Means there's things they don't know. And in the name Jehiel means God will live, and the name Shechaniah means God has dwelt. In his name, I find out three truths, Brother Tony. There are some things I don't know. Let me just get down here real personal. Yes, I'm the pastor. But I'll be honest with you, Brother John, I'm just going to be heart to heart, face to face. There's some things I don't know. Let me find some young person over here. Here's one. Let me just be honest with you. There's some things I don't know. Brother Ty, there's things I don't know. I wish I did know. Sometimes, maybe I don't wish I knew some things. There's some things we just don't know. There's some things you just don't know. Preacher, why did this happen? I don't know. Preacher, what's going to happen? I don't know.
Amen.
Notice what he said. Notice about his name. There's a second part of his name. That Jehiel means God will live. Means God's going to exist out there.
Amen.
Hey, man, I don't know everything. But here's what I do know. God is going to exist.
Amen.
There's a lot to be said about God existing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm glad he's not like Buddha. I'm not glad he's not buried. I'm glad he's not like Confucius. He's buried in gold. I'm glad that God is going to live. Amen. Exist right on. Here's another thing I know. God has dwelt. God has been. And God is going to be. So if God, there's a lot of things I don't know. I don't know a lot of things. But I know that God has been. And I know that God is going to be. And if I know that God is here and God is there, well, praise God, He's got to be here too. Amen. He can't just skip over time. God's been there. And God's going to be there. So praise God, God is here.
Amen.
In the middle of my sorrows, I can say, listen, I know where God has been. And I know where God is going to be. There's some times I can't feel God. I know y'all so spiritual, y'all feel Him all the time. But I tell you one thing, I've had times when I feel like my prayers bounced off the ceiling.
Yes, sir.
And I've had some times where I went in and somebody said, preacher, pray for me. And I did the best I could, but Brother Ty, I didn't know how that was going to come out of this thing. I know y'all so spiritual, come on now. Had some times you just don't see the dawn dawning. It's dark.
Yes, sir.
But what brings hope is this. There's a lot of things I don't know, but what I do know is God is. Amen.
Amen.
God is.
Glory to His name. Yes, sir.
Number two, knowing is God, I know what I know. I know what I've done. The Bible says, answer and son of Ezra, we have transgressed against our God and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. You say, preacher, I want to get some hope in this life. Well, I'm going to tell you this. You'll never have any hope in this life. Do you understand what you've done?
Right. Right. Amen.
Amen. A lot of times we want to sit around. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we want to just cock our halos kind of a little shinier so everybody can see them. Amen. And we don't act like we ain't done anything, but we have done. There ain't a person in here ain't a sorry, rotten sinner. If God hadn't reached out and saved you, ought to bust hell wide open. Say amen right there.
Amen.
If we just go ahead and be honest with that, they ain't one of us deserve to go to heaven. Not a one of us. Not a single sorry one of us.
Right.
You say, I don't like that. Well, He calls us a wretch. Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
Oh, amazing grace. Don't sing it no more if you don't believe it.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
What I'm saying, we're going to have to understand sometimes. We're just going to have to be honest and say, here's what I've done. I know what I've done. I know where, I know, there's things I know where God is. But number two, I know what I've done.
Right.
I said the cold hard truth about repentance. Number three, He said this, yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. He said, I know where God is, I know what I've done, and I know what I've heard. What do you mean, preacher? Over in 1 Kings, it says this, 8:47, when they built the first temple. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither thou were carried to captives and repent and make supplication of thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. Sound like 2 Chronicles 7:14. Me, if my people. Amen. Don't it sound just like that? When they finished the first temple, they consecrated that temple, and they said, God, we know that we're going to make mistakes. They said, we know it. But God, if You said if we'd turn around, start looking and start seeking you, that you'd hear our prayer and bring us back home. And here they are after 7 years captivity, they've been brought back home. But they still got sin to deal with. Hey, I'd like to say this. You got saved, there's no more sin. But I can't say that. There's no more problems. There's no more heartaches. There's no more tears. I can't say that. There are.
Yes, sir.
That's why in Revelation is going to wipe away all their tears.
Amen.
There's going to be tears. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be... Don't let the devil whisper in your ear and say, if you're saved, you're never going to have a heartache. That's a lie. There's going to be a lot of heartaches. Hey, stay with me now. Watch this. We see that hearts are broken by sin. We see that hope in this life is not banished by sin. In this life is not banished by sin. Number three, we see the hardship of betrothal to sin. To be married to it. Look at with me in verse number three. Look what it says. Now therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives. Everybody just fine. Everybody just fine with everybody else's sin. But you know what they're talking about now? They're talking about a covenant of divorcement from their wives. Now it says, listen, they're going to have to give up that sin that they love. Now I don't say this today, that ain't popular. What most people want to do is confess the sin, but not give up the sin. And it's a hard, there's a lot of people don't want to confess it, but there's some people who finally say, well, maybe I was wrong.
Go ahead, preach it. Go ahead.
But that ain't getting it right.
That's right.
Ain't getting it right just saying it. I've seen a lot of people talk about sin. There's a difference in talking about sin and doing away with sin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They said, we got to give up. We're going to have to put away our wives. Now, I want you to comprehend that this morning. Brother Bill, had you been one of the Jewish, this is hard. I said this is a cold, hard facts about sin. Now, you're not Israel, but had you been Israel, and you've been in captivity for 70 years, didn't know if you'd ever get to come home.
That's right.
But the grace, because you didn't know,
right.
But God had a covenant already made up with Cyrus. It was going to happen, prophecy. They'd known that, they'd never done what they did. Didn't stay with the book. There's Brother Bill. He's over there. And he looks around. And one day he sees Miss Windham. She's not Miss Windham then. She's just a Gentile. But he's there. So he sees her and begins to fall in love with her. And she becomes Miss Windham. All of a sudden Brother Bill decides to. God moves on his heart that it's time to go home. There's a way to go home. There's a place to go home. And there's something to do when we get there. And God allows him and brings him up and tells him, do you know you're out of the holy lineage of the priest and you are a priest? And then God sends a man of God and says, you, don't look at her. Now think about this. Had to put her away. I want you to grasp what's going on here. They are making a covenant of divorcement to the sin. It's a sin because they were supposed to be separated. This is Israel. I'm not talking to you as far as you're not married. I'm not talking about your marriage. I'm talking about Israel was commanded not to marry those things.
Amen.
And they did it.
Yes.
And the very thing that they loved, they're going to have to make a covenant and get rid of it. Now, I'll give you some more here in a minute on that. Just hold that thought. Don't get mad at me. Amen. Now, notice this. Now, therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives. Look at this. And such as are born of them. Whoa, Brother Ty. Now, you know what you got to do? If you'd been there. Go. Think about it. Not only do they have to give up the sin that they love, but they also now had to affect the layers of sin they've been involved in. Because that's the way sin is. It's just not a sin. He come to forgive us our sins. Sins comes in layers. You do something wrong, then you lie about it.
Amen.
That's layers of sin.
Yes, sir.
And so now, not only are they to give up their wives that they love, now they have their children, the next layer of sin. That is on top of that.
Right.
This is hard.
Yes, sir.
Notice what it says, according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that tremble in the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. That's very significant. That's very significant. Now you're going to get thoroughly right with God, or they're not going to be used. Are you listening?
Amen.
Now what a lot of people do, one person in the family get right, and the rest of them just tag along. But that can't be done this way. Brother Ty, it can't be done this way. If and I'm using Miss Windham. Miss Windham, if you're not qualified, he's unqualified. Right? Right? If I divorce Miss Ron and go marry somebody else, am I qualified to be pastor?
Nope.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's right. That's Bible. Amen. We right?
Yes, sir.
So not only do we have the sin that they love and the sin that they're layered, but now they have to have the law against sin. And it says you have to put them away according to the law. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, that means Brother Bill, he's done something wrong. I'm just shooting you, Brother Bill. He's done something wrong. He married Miss Windham. And now he just takes her out the door and he goes, pooh! And all right, now he's qualified. No. You know what that means? You have to take her and feed her and clothe her and house her and take care of her. But you can't go to her for the rest of your life. See, sins like public sins have public responsibilities.
Yes, sir.
Just because you're saved don't mean you can just live any old way, act any old way, do any old thing. Well, I asked the Lord to forgive me so I don't have to pay my bills. Oh, yes, you do. Or you are unqualified.
Amen.
But I asked the Lord to forgive me. And He did. You still got responsibilities. The cold hard truth about repentance is it costs you something. You know, well, I did so and so. I'm free from that. No, you're not. Hey, do you know when Dr. Percy Ray got saved and got thoroughly right with God and surrendered to preach? You know what the first thing he did? He went back to a little store that he had stole something out of when he was a lost person, back to see him way young, and paid the debt of it and interest. Because you want to be thoroughly right.
Yes.
It's going to cost you something.
Yes.
That's ain't half the message. Y'all ready?
Amen.
All right. You there? We there together? All right. So we see the hardship of betrothal. We see a covenant of divorcement. This is what we're going to do. And we see the call of appointment. Look at verse number 4. Arise. This is what he says to Ezra. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. This man looks at him and he says, we know what we ought to do. We're going to do it. We're going to make a covenant. And it's your job. Who is he? He's the man of God. It is your job to stand up and make it so. Amen. There's a call of appointment. I don't like the preacher meddling in my stuff. Then you don't want a preacher. It's a call of appointment. An overseer. That's what he does. Now stay with me. Not only do we see a call of appointment, but we see a compelled endorsement. Look what he does. Then arose Ezra. He rose up and made the chief priests, the Levites, and all Israel to swear that they should do according to the word as and they swear. He said, all right. You want a man of God? You want to stand on truth? You want him to be right? You stand with me.
Amen.
You promise me when I say that the Bible says this and we're going to go this way, that you're going to say that way.
Amen.
You know what they did? The Bible said they swear. Preacher, I promised to back up the church with my prayers. my presence and my means so far as I can.
Amen.
That's what we say around here when we join the church. I promise.
Yes, sir.
I pledge myself to the local church. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to do according to your under shepherdship, led by the word of God. That's what it
sir.
Is. Because this is the key. Now, outside that, it ain't nothing but opinions. But this is the key.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You still with me? Well, that ain't the way I think. It don't matter. It don't matter what I think. It matters what that
says.
Right. Amen. Amen. We still there?
Amen.
All right, now watch this. Ain't we out of time? Ooh, Richard, this ain't like Wednesday night. It's okay. Need a little meat, a little milk, a little honey. Amen. Stay with me, but it's good. This is good now. Look at it with me. Look at the cry of disappointment, verse 6. Then Ezra rose up from before the house of God, went into the chamber of Jonathan, the son of Eliashib. And when he had came thither, he did no eat no bread nor drink water, for he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. Hey, listen to this. I can relate to that. I'm not as great a man as Ezra is, but I can relate to that, Brother Tony. It breaks my heart to try to have to stand up and point out sin. I don't ever go, woohoo! I get church to go to church today, and I get to tell people where they went wrong. And I get to tell them that they're in trouble. There's no joy in that. There's no joy in that. There's no joy in that. Now, notice he didn't do it in front of everybody. Why? Why do you think he didn't do it in front of everybody? Because he did it in front of everybody, they might have thought he wasn't serious about it. Sometimes a man of God just has to go, bam! As Miss Freeman, sometime when I'm preaching, y'all don't know, she holds a nail out and she goes. And what that is nailing it down. And sometimes you have to just nail it down.
Yes, sir.
But don't mean I don't go home and cry about it. Now, you're going to hear that a lot because you don't need to know it. But ain't no joy in that.
Yes.
Well, you'd have to be sick to stand up and love to do that.
That's right.
That'd be like disciplining your children and saying you love it. Why, that's insane. All right, you with me? So we see the covenant of divorcement, the call of appointment, the compelled endorsement, a covenant of divorcement, the compelled endorsement, the cry of disappointment, and the cost of commitment. Now look at with me, verse number 7. And they made a proclamation throughout all Judah and Jerusalem unto all the children of captivity that they should gather themselves together in Jerusalem. So they make a gathering. And that whosoever, now listen, that whosoever would not come within 3 days, according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. You know what that is in modern terms? That is church discipline. And it says if a person won't get right, then they forfeit the right of service. They forfeit the right of being a part. Whew. Are you still with me? So we see a gathering. We see a forfeiting. Number 3, what do we see? We see a trembling. Verse number 9 says, then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month. There's December. And the 20th day of the month. It's next week. And all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling. Why were they trembling? Well, physical, of course, for the great rain. But notice which one it puts order. Not the physical, but the spiritual. Because of this great matter. All the people, they're trembling. 3 days gathered, it raining. And their greatest fear is not they're going to get pneumonia. Is that what is God going to do, who just sent them into captivity for sin and now brought them out. And here they come back, and they still got sin in the camp. Don't say this, church. Cold, hard truth about repentance is this. You know what makes a person repent? Is when they get a good idea of who God is.
That's it. Amen.
It's not they were scared of Ezra. They weren't afraid of Ezra. Because listen, I'll tell you right now, there might be some people in church that respect the pastor, and I respect and love my pastor. But listen to this. And you might do some things, but you probably ain't going to stand the rain for 3 days because of the pastor. Not in December. Let's go try it. Man, this morning when they opened the doors of the car, you got in the house, didn't you? You know why? Because physically you was worried about getting pneumonia. These people stood in the rain for 3 days because they had the fear that they was going to meet God. And it's going to meet them with sin in their heart. And it wasn't just the men. And it wasn't just the women. It was all of them. There's a lot of people today come to the house of God, and got sin in their life. And they don't care because they don't really think they're going to face God with it. You might as well say amen right there. The only reason people don't run to the altar when they got sin in life is they don't really think that God is going to do something to them.
That's it.
Or that he can.
Yes,
or that he might any moment.
Amen.
And by the way, these were people that were redeemed people. These are people that had come home. These were people that were interested in worship. And these are the people that God pointed out and said, wrong. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. You may not care what this preacher thinks about you. I mean, I think that's sad, but you may not care. And you may not even care what some of these members think about you. And that's sad, but it could be true. And you may not even care about what your family thinks about you. I'm going to ask you a question. When it's dark tonight and you're needing that next breath while you're sleeping, you ought to care about what God thinks about you.
Amen.
You ought to fear someone who said, let there be light without sun. And there was light.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Just because he said so. You ought to fear one who out of the breath of his nostrils dried up the Red Sea overnight. Congealed the walls by going.
Yes, sir.
We need to think about him. We need to consider our sin. I said, we need to consider our sin. We all got it, don't we?
Amen.
Come on, church. We all got it.
Yes, sir.
We need to consider who we're dealing with. The cold hard truth about sin is the hardship of that betrothal of sin. That thing that we've married ourselves to. That thing that we have layers of children with. That thing that's going to cost us something. About it. And then lastly, look at verse number 10. Hearts are broken by sin. Hope in this life is not banished by sin. Hardship of betrothal to sin. Man, I tell you, every time I read that passage, I can't imagine them having to put their wives and their children away. They're going to take care of them the rest of their life, but they can't be with them. That's what sin happens in our life. We've got to put it away. God has to put it away, but we still pay for it in our minds. You with me? Look at verse number 10. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. You've made it worse than it was. He begins to preach a message on the wickedness of their sin. Verse 11 says, now therefore, now notice his conditions, the conditions that God giving. Now therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers. Admit it to God that you're wrong. Don't say, well, maybe I shouldn't have acted that way. No. Don't say, well, maybe I treated mom and dad bad. Maybe I've done wrong to my children. Maybe I shouldn't have done it. No. He said, confess it to God. Tell God you're wrong.
Yes, sir.
Make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure. What did Mary say? Whatever he saith unto you, do it. Number three, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wife. I told you that's what he said he's going to do. He said you got to separate yourself. You got to sanctify yourself from the sin. I can believe that hanging out in the pool halls, I may not drink or anything, but I can believe that hanging out in the pool halls, all of a sudden God can convict me of it. Maybe having that smoke and that alcohol around me and that thing is not a good thing. It makes sense. I don't smell like it. Don't smell like the world. Does it make sense? And I can agree with God reading the scriptures and say, man, I'll tell you what, that's right. I need to be separated unto God. And I can confess it. And I can say, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. And I can promise you, the next thing he's going to tell you to do is get out. You don't keep wallowing around and think that God's got any approval on your life. Come on, church. The cold hard truth about sin and about repentance is we got to get out.
That's right. Amen.
You can't mingle in and out. You can't put one door on one step, one door on the other. And
no,
cold hard truth about repentance is it costs something.
Yes, sir.
He says, this is the way. Look at verse 12. Then some of the congregation. No. Just like they were a body, we're a body.
Yes, sir.
Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice. What kind of voice? A loud voice. As thou hast said, so will we do. No. As thou hast said, so must we do. If we're going to survive, if we're going to move forward, we must do this.
Amen.
Not we will do this, or we shall do this, or we're planning on do this. We must do this. Just like if I'm going to live, I've got to breathe. I've got to breathe. Amen. That's why, I remember years ago falling off in some deep water. Brother Freeman, when I was down in that deep water, I knew I needed to breathe. That's good. If you'd asked me and I could have talked with my mouth full of water, I could say, I want to breathe. But it took more than that. I started fighting because I must breathe.
Amen.
And until we get a fact where we must be right, we've never really repented. We've never been. Why don't you look at verse 13, and this really, really hit home to me, and just kind of, boy, it really told the truth about repentance. We have a but. But the people are many. So must we do. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without. We can't stand. We're made of flesh, and we can't stand in this rain and get all this right here. We're going to die with pneumonia. We don't have to worry about us getting right. We're going to be dead. We can't stand. We are not able to stand without. Neither is this work of one day or two, for we are many that have transgressed in this thing. Let now our rulers and all of all the congregation stand, and let all them that which have taken strange wives in our cities come in appointed times, and with them the elders of every city, and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. We see the wickedness, the way, the willingness, but there's a work to repentance. I will say this. When I get out of the house of God and get out of the will of God, I'm going this direction. And then God moves on my heart and says, Terry, you've done wrong. You're guilty of me. You know I'm God. You got to get things right. You got to get them out of your life. I agree, God, I do. And at that moment that I agree with God, what do we call that? Repentance. Repentance is agreeing with God and doing a 180. But here's the thing about repentance. It takes more than a day to get thoroughly right.
Amen. Amen.
So here's the way most people do sin. They get in their life and they run down to an altar and they confess their sin, and then they go right back. And there's no effort to get closer. You can't get that way. It can't be satisfactory. There's work to this thing. You got to learn to pray again. Amen. You got to learn to study again. Over in Ecclesiastes, he said the study is much weariness of body. Amen. Study can make you tired. You got to love to love again. You got to love to take things out and put things in again. Because if they put away one thing, they got to have something in that spot, don't they? They're going to have to find time that where they used to spend it with their wives and their children. Now they're going to have to find time in God's work. Church, what I'm saying is the cold hard truth about repentance is God can forgive you this quick. But it's going to take longer than that to get thoroughly back where you were when you left. But here's the good news. You can start heading back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There is hope. Yes, sir. But now, I can start getting back right. First thing I'm going to do is confess it.
Yes.
And whatever he says, I'm going to do it.
Yes.
Whatever he says, I'm going to do it. These people stood in the rain for days because they feared God. And they want to get thoroughly, listen, thoroughly right
yes.
with God. Were they saved? They were the redeemed. They were the ones that were brought back. They were the ones, listen, the best. They were, the best. They're the ones that were the priests, the Levites. They're the ones that had to get thoroughly right first. Judgment begins at the house of God.
Amen.
Hard truth about repentance is this. We probably need it more than anybody does. We're probably the first ones that need to run to an old-fashioned altar and slide in and say, God, I'm not as close as I once was. And I heard a story at one time, and I'm closing, I heard a great preacher, I may have passed this around, but he said it like this. He said, think of somebody you know that's as close to God as anybody you know of. You think of anybody right now? Think of anybody. All right? Now think of somebody that you know that you believe saved, but is out of the will of God, as far as anybody can be out of the will of God. You know that person? All right? If you're anywhere in the middle, you're lukewarm.
That's it. Amen. Yes.
Because that one's hot, and that one's cold. And if we're not there, we're just lukewarm. You know what God says that does to him? It makes him sick.
That's it.
Let's all stand this morning. Cold hard truth about repentance is this hard, but it's needed. And it's hope. People don't want to repent. They want to just, well, I did something wrong and, you know, I said I was sorry and everything's right now. No, it's not. Not if you've made no move to God, no move of getting right with the people you wronged. No move of putting it out of your life. No move of doing what he said to do. You have not repented. You can't repent. I can't head in that way, turn around and start going this way, unless I'm actually moving this way. I can turn. But I've got to move in a different direction. I'll ask you a question today. Which way are you going? Which way you're moving. And if you have turned around, are you taking any steps back? Have you confessed it? Have you confessed it? Have you confessed it? Have you confessed it? And think of it, it may take some time to get back where you're supposed to be. I can personally say it takes time. It takes time to get back. It takes time to get back. Brother Freeman, it takes time to get back. I can get out one, I could come in or one, I'm closing. I come in one Wednesday night and get out of the will of God. And it will take me till Sunday if God is gracious to me It will take me 3 to 4 days to get back to early rock. And if I miss more than that, it just starts multiplying. You understand what I'm saying? I want the pianist to come play today. Now I want you to come play. I want you to come.